standby for an emergency or priority traffic before we continue with the net this evening. Okay, good evening everyone. This is N2NOV. My name is Charles from Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net that's heard on the N2ROW linked repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby that occurs outside of the amateur radio band. These would cover everything from DC all the way up to light, everything from various broadcasting bands to utility stations, public service, satellites, aircraft, ships to shore, anything else that is not amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about amateur radio at any other time during the week. On this net, we're also going to talk about what equipment you would need to use to tune into these different signals and what you're actually listening to. The basic information for this net. First, there are about a dozen repeaters tied together in the N2ROW repeater system. To find the one that is closest to where you are, please go to the website, www.n2row.net. Pick the repeater that's closest to where you are, please use the least amount of power necessary to get into it. This way you're not tripping any remote receivers. When you check in on the air, please give your call sign, name, and location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. By traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions that you'd like to share with everyone else. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for whatever reason, please use our email address, which is nydxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll take check-ins. Please space it out. This way people aren't stepping on each other, and we can get everybody checked in. This is N20B.
Most likely a pirate station because there is no
9.1 frequency listing for anything in Spanish in that area. Which brought up the question in conversation after you asked that question, you know, what about low power FM stations? And I went on the FCC website, and low power FM, as far as a license is concerned, they are not going to be issuing any low power FM stations in the New York City region because of how many frequencies are already tied up with the station. And even a low power FM station at 100 watts or less would cause interference. There's a link on the FCC webpage. If you go to fcc.gov/LPFM, there's a link on there that allows you to put in your latitude and longitude, and it'll give you an idea of which frequencies are available to be used for a low power FM. And when I put in New York City's coordinates, they came back and said, nope, you're not getting any. So, if you know if anybody was thinking about trying for one in New York City, forget it. Not going to happen. The non-licensed for low power FM for Part 15 in the FM broadcast band is so restrictive, basically it's only good for about 50 feet as far as power level. And they measure it as microvolts at 10 feet away from the antenna. So, not going to get far with that either. All right, Pete, do you have your list? KC2CDC, that's what I'll be.
Interesting little thing happened to me. I spoke with two-way shift. Got a an analog at the UHF. I didn't catch the tone, and it's 408-425. That was analog, and another one 409-0375, and that was analog, and with a DPL 023. I think this was State Department. Very interesting, NAC 408.1, and it had a NAC of Charlie Fox Zero, and another 408.6 with the same NAC, Charlie Fox Zero. And let me find this other one. Where is it? Oh yeah, 164.3375. Again, didn't get the PL tone, but that was an analog. Oh, and another one, 166.925, and PL was 136.5. Let me let it drop and tell you an interesting experience I had. As you know, I told you I put together a little transportable 996, and I got a Pelican hard case. After I mounted the radio itself with the mobile mounting bracket on a piece of wood, so it would fit inside the box and wouldn't move around side to side, up and down, I would wrap it up in a towel, and I would put the cables and the software, in those larger game boxes, not those little cheap plastic boxes. Anyway, I came home one night, and I had all these bags and things with me. Put the box on the top of the stairs, and I thought I had it a little further in than I thought. Anyway, it went end over end down a flight of stairs, mind you, wooden stairs, and it got inside, opened up the box, plugged it in. Everything was right as rain. So I guess those hard cases, when packed properly, will protect your stuff.
You dropped off.
The frequencies in the little Pelican box. incident.
Okay, so then you turned it back to me, all of a sudden you dropped out.
The frequencies and the Pelican box experience, they definitely protect the equipment that you put in there. I don't know if you heard what happened. Rolled down a flight, it went end over end down a flight of stairs. And it worked. Of course, I had it packed in. I don't know what if you got the whole story with that, but that was it, the frequencies and the hard case.
Okay, yeah, well, the cases are pretty good. But it's not just a matter of the case, it's a matter of the... It's a matter of the packing material inside to keep the radio still. You know, that foam material that they use in there. The, alright. Going over your list speed, let's see, 166.925 is actually the input to the Gateway Park repeater, frequency number one in their list, 163.325. So you must have been close enough to hear somebody on the input. 164.3375, using a digital PL of 251, is actually U.S. Postal Service. Brooklyn trucks, so the tractor trailers that they use and deliver trucks, not the carriers, you know, not the guy that delivers the mail to your house, but the trucks. They would use that out of the Brooklyn office, which the Brooklyn sorting facility is located near Sarin City. So they use a repeater that covers all of Brooklyn. 408-600 and 408-100 are both the State Department Diplomatic Security Service, DSS. Let's see, 409-0375, that's a new one on me. I have to do some research on that. And 408.425 is the VA. I think it's the one in Manhattan, I'm not sure. But they were using a PL tone of 67.0, according to my last note here on the list.
Charlie, before you go on, you said digital, it was actually analog. It was not digital. 164.3375, it was not digital, it was definitely analog. And yes, now I remember, I lost it again, I'm gonna sort this thing out one day, frequency by frequency. Yes, I remember, it was definitely 67. I thought that might be, an error in that, because a lot of, they tell you not to use that because it's too close to 60 hertz.
Well, only if your repeater input is near, some heavy electrical system. But the 164.3375, by digital, it meant the digital PL, DPL, 251, but it's still analog voice.
I think it was 408.6. do I have a 408? Yeah, I do. That was the, okay, yes, that was the one where the input was Charlie Fox Zero, and the output was 293. Interesting note there. You might want to note it.
Well, anything's possible. I mean, we've seen that before with PL tones and DPL tones, that they use different ones on input and output. Now, it's not, you know, that common, but it does happen.
Okay, well, here's something interesting. You know, it's very difficult, unless you're Charlie, when you're listening to something in a digital mode, because you really can't tell whether it's, unless you're sure that it's output and they've got, you know, a long hang time, you can't really tell if it's the input, the output, or the talk around. I mean, because, you know, you're in the analog mode. Any ideas on how to tell, other than actually knowing what the input is? In fact, if you're listening to it.
Well, the way that the federal band between 406 and 420 is moving towards is that they're trying to have all the repeater outputs on the low end of the band and the repeater inputs on the high end of the band. So if you're hearing a 408, a 409, a 410, well, that's the output of the repeater. As far as whether it's repeater versus talk around on the output frequency of a repeater, yes, in analog mode, you would try to hear a hangtail. When it's digital output 25, it's more difficult to try to figure out because you don't get that hang time.
Another one, yes, I know they would, well, here's another one that really doesn't, kind of like, not on the same page. Yeah, that's a good one. The DEA, they're, you know, they, well, in the past have transmitted low and frequency high and have been simplex, you know, like 1 megahertz down, or have done talk around. So, you know, that's another thing. Unless you know who you're listening to and got an idea of what the past previous tones were, you know, it's really, really hard to know what you're listening to. Getting back to the box, I didn't have any of the foam in there. They didn't have the one with the foam in it. So, like I said, mounted the radio on top of a piece of wood so the thing would move around, you know, from side to side, up, down, and prevented it from moving up and down, you know, from the top of the case to the bottom of the case when sitting flat. I had wrapped it up in a towel. You're absolutely right about, you got to pack it. Like, oh, and here's another thing. They claim that their cases are waterproof. They're not. You got to take that rubber gasket off, and you got to wet it with silicone grease, and don't put it back in the way that it came out. You got to put it back in, you know, not keyed in. I'm sure that it was one of the... Oh, I'm hearing more citywide frequencies in the subway. I don't know if they are set up for, you know, transmit receipt, but they're definitely, I heard SOD today on the way down to Brooklyn.
So they're using bidirectional amplifiers that cover the UHF band down there, so I think more and more you're going to hear a lot of the NYPD and EMS stuff and fire department and whatnot. You'll actually hear them down in the subway, you know, as they turn on those bidirectional amplifiers. Let's see. I was looking at some of my notes here. The U.S. State Department Diplomatic Security Service located at the UN. 408.100 is the repeater's channel 1, but if they're doing simplex on the output, they call that channel 2. pilot. Other than that, I don't know how else you'd be able to tell which one was which when the audio is in APCO 25 digital. But, yeah, things are in a state of transition in the federal band, especially up there in UHF. And while they're trying to maintain a 9 megahertz split to the repeaters, you still have some things, like you said, the DEA is still up at 418, but they're not necessarily a standard split. I've seen some things here, my notes, still oddball splits too. Even like a 10 megahertz split on one particular thing. So, you know, whether it's intentional or not, who knows, but that just seems to be the way it's been going lately. That you'll find things in different configurations. But as long as you're able to hear whatever you're trying to listen to, then, you know, just leave it at that.
I'm trying to listen to, how about the other way around? I'm just, you know, trying to listen to something. You know what it sounds like? I don't know about the federal stuff, but with all these new channels and trunk systems that they have implemented here in the city, you know, it's starting to seem like not the all the eggs in one basket, but it, you know, it just seems they've got more frequencies than they know what to do with. It's like Pandora's box. You know, it opens and there's just like so many things going on there. And what I was going to ask you was, with this new DeWitt UHF and UHF low, you know, meaning 800, what are they going to do with the 800 megahertz system? Or is that just going to be one like taxi limousine and what do you call that, water tunnel? You know, another trunk system here.
And to NLP with the shortwave and scanner listeners, that they are splitting it. Basically, the first responder type of agencies that were on the 800 megahertz split system are moving down to UHF. Some of the non-critical things, like you said, taxi and limousine commission, housing authority, housing preservation, you know, things of that nature are going to stay on 800. So they're just trying to separate the usage this way. There's more availability for those first responder agencies when they need something. They're not battling with 40 other agencies on the same system.
Seems like it's back to the old one radio to do everything. And yeah, not that they couldn't do it with an Astro Sabre or an XTS. Like if everybody's on one page on UHF, you know, I can see that. It's just, there's just so many frequencies, and, you know, getting back to the adages again, you know, keep it simple. It doesn't really look like it is. I'm not saying trunked or conventional, but one day someone's going to pick up a radio someone's going to put a radio down and someone else is going to put a radio down, and they're going to be both the same looking radio and go, oh, there's my radio, and then wind up they picked up the wrong one. I'm sure it's happened, but you know, it's like too much of a good thing. Anyway, I just wanted to pass that along. If I think of anything else or find any of my notes, probably like the same as yours, I'll pass it back along to you, hopefully before the net. Sorry I took up so much time. Well, it was the only one on with a query. All right, Charlie, back over to you.
want, the more money they want, the more control they want. So it just goes hand in hand. With the new UHF trunking system, Pete, this idea of one radio concept actually goes back over 10 years ago. As was conversation with one of the OEM responders, that they didn't want to keep carrying three separate Sabre radios, one for each band, VHF, UHF, and 800. And it's more critical that the first responders that need to be able to talk to each other be on the same band, so they can just switch back and forth. It's only a very recent development that there has even been talk about a dual band radio for commercial services. So that's just coming out, and it's not even coming out by Motorola, it's coming out by a French company. So for now, you know, put your police, your fire, your EMS, your OEM, you know, all those kind of things on one band, and that's what they're doing. Some of it's trunked, some of it's conventional. And the radios that they have now can do both. It's just a matter of how it's programmed. So you go to channel position 1, it's a talk group on the trunk system. Position channel 10 in the list, and they're all alphanumeric listings, so you don't even have to worry about, you know, what does the channel do. It tells you on the screen. You know, channel 10 in the list may be conventional, repeater, channel 11 is simplex. So they're able to do all this in one radio now.
AC2CDC. Okay, great idea. Yes, Dales and the Harris. I like myself the Harris. I wish I had money for that. That would be very nifty. I would eliminate a little box that I carry in my bag, be able to do everything with the 12,500 channels. That's another discussion. And like you said, however many years ago, and they're swapping radios again. I mean, those nifty SP radios that the fire department has. Let's see, 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're just barely 6, 7 years old and out the door. And XDS 5000. Nothing wrong with the XDS 5000, but you know, it seems like the more everything changes, the more it stays the same. Maybe they need new radios, but, you know, not knocking anything, but, and they were good, and they were great in their day, and they, you know, no longer made, but those Sabre radios that the fire department used on VHF, they used those for how long? And now they're ready to, you know, switch again. I mean, yeah, UHF would be better for, you know, the way it propagates through buildings and concrete and steel, and plus the antenna's smaller, the radio's physically smaller, got bigger battery capacity. Yeah, nice, but oh my god.
Don't worry about it, Pete. They will find a use for the radio somewhere. So here in New York City, no longer are the frequency licenses made out to a particular agency. As they come up for expiration and renewal, they're all being switched into a general heading under DEWIT. So DEWIT owns the licenses for the frequencies, DEWIT owns the radios, and if they roll out a different model radio for the fire department, they're just going to take back the old radios, reprogram them, and use them for a different agency, like homeless services or something. So it's not going to go to waste.
NOV, K2GLW.
Hope not. I just can't stand waste. But hey, you know, waste them. I'll buy them at a third of the original price. No problem. Yeah, we have another station in there. Charlie, thank you for everything. I'll be listening. KC2CDC.
N2NOV, K2GLW. I've been trying to get a break in there for about 20 minutes. Good evening.
Hey, Gordon. Oh, I've been leaving gap.
Well, I wasn't quick enough. I'm still operating on Seattle time, so I was late signing in, but had my scanner out in Seattle, and it was very, very interesting. Heard one Mayday call, which the Coast Guard responded to with ships and helicopters, but we heard a Mayday call and realized that it was all unfolding just off of our ferry boat. Sailboat lost its mast and was wallowing in fairly choppy water, and it was all happening, oh, no more than 200 yards away from our ferry boat.
So were you able to see what was going on while you listened to the traffic on the radio?
Yeah, I mean, we could see the boat very, very clearly. We could hear him talking to the Coast Guard, to its Coast Guard Seattle sector. We use the same frequencies out there we use out here. And there was a Mayday call on 156-800, and then the Coast Guard came back on, basically stayed on 156-800, and we could see the boat almost completely covered by the flapping sail, and we could see it churning around, and our ferry boat asked if assistance was needed, but the Coast Guard said that there was a ship already en route, and in fact we saw, they used these Zodiacs out there, which also had machine guns mounted on them, and it came bouncing across the waters of Elliott Bay in the direction of the sailboat.
Ah, good. Okay. So you saw it all in action. Excellent. Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah, 156-800 is the overall emergency calling channel. And a lot of times they'll just stay on that channel if there's nothing else going on. Otherwise, they'll switch you off. You know, just tell the boat to change to another channel. Any vessel in the area, it's expected of them to offer assistance. And this way everybody helps each other out there. Now, one of the things about the VHF Marine Band is that there are no repeaters at all for the ships to use. I mean, it was the old ship-to-shore telephone service, so that was like two-way simplex. But as far as the regular stuff, you know, the commercial and non-commercial frequencies, there are no repeaters, so that 25-watt radio they have on their boat with the antenna, you know, maybe 10 feet off the water, the signal doesn't go very far. And especially as we have here in New York City, you can have a boat on the East River not able to hear a boat on the Hudson River because of the buildings that are in the way. So that's why they rely on all ships that can hear the signal to be ready to render assistance whenever possible.
Everything out there, ferry boats crossing Puget Sound, big container ships, tankers, cruise ships going in and out, tour boats, everything there. So there was almost never a moment when the marine frequencies weren't in use. I don't know if you were here. I took it with me up to Quebec, and it was the day that Hurricane Bill passed off the coast of Canada, and I heard, I didn't see, but heard a tow of barges break loose on the St. Lawrence River and hear all of them scrambling around to try and capture the barges.
Now, yeah, that much mass, when it starts moving, it's kind of hard to stop it.
And also, Bremerton is the biggest naval facility on the West Coast. It's got the largest shipyard in the Navy, the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, and there are three aircraft carriers and a whole bunch of nuclear submarines being worked on at the shipyard. Then there's Naval Base Bremerton, which is home to a carrier flotilla. Then there is Submarine Base Bangor, which is the Pacific Tri-Coastal Marine Fleet, all within a close area.
Definitely one of the prime areas to listen to marine traffic on the West Coast between there and San Francisco. So you know, it's a good thing that you were in the area. You've got a lot to listen to.
And then, of course, I had my ham radio along, and you have all of those repeaters that are up on 4,000-foot mountains that cover half the state of Washington. I'm about to head back inside with the dog, so I'll be losing you. One off-topic question. You got my email saying I was available for the bike ride this Sunday?
Yes, I did, Gordon. Emma's bike tour on Sunday, I have you down for the same time you had last year. Not a problem. I'll send out everything Friday night.
Yeah, I was, first time I've taken the scanner out there in a long time, and really incredibly worthwhile. I would load both the scanner and my HT into my shoulder bag as I traveled around moving grandkids from point to point.
Okay, very good. Hitch is up inside. Sounds like the wind is blowing up a little bit more out there. I guess summer is finally over.
It is cold enough that I really wish I had gloves. I have a winter coat on, and no gloves, and my hands are just absolutely numb. One reason why I'm going to be glad to get inside. All right, K2GLW, have a good broadcast, and thanks for giving me some airtime.
Okay. No problem, Gordon. All right, this time we'll stand by for any additional check-ins. This is N2NLB with the shortwave and scanner listed net. Again, if you're not able to get into the repeater for whatever reason, please use our email address, which is nyvxa@yahoo.com. Okay, I've got nothing in the email, except Mark asked me to put on the newsletter list. No problem, Mark, we'll do that. And, well, for anybody who's listening who is an amateur radio operator, as Gordon was saying, this Sunday is the Multiple Sclerosis 100-mile bike tour. Starts and ends in Midtown Manhattan and goes up through Bergen County into Rockland County. If you're available to help out with part of the event, either out on the route in New Jersey, Rockland County, or in Manhattan itself, or to act as a shadow for somebody, or be on one of the shuttle vans that will be picking up people who get into trouble out there, drop an email and we'll get you an assignment. So with that, we'll say 7-3 to everybody, not hearing anything else additional, and we'll catch you next week. As Gordon says, it's kind of chilly out there, so if you're going to go out, put some gloves on. And 2-1 will be clear.